I can be any kid on the block. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They're slugging it out. A left to the jaw, and...
Oh, my block is knocked off.
But you can press it right back on. It's Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Press this lever. He throws a right, the other a left. Knock his block off. You're the winner.
Wait till next time.
And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every single episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, there will be murder bots! Murder! Murder bots! How was my evil laugh, Chris?
That wasn't a bad evil laugh at all. It was fairly evil.
Wait,
what, I love my murder bots too, so I know where you're coming. I hear you barking, dog.
Did I make your dogs bark?
Did you make my what?
Your dog bark?
I do not have a dog.
Oh, what dogs are barking?
I don't hear any dogs barking.
Anyway, hi.
Oh, Jesus. I'm so dense.
I was like, I don't know what dogs you're talking about. My pug's in the
I'm
next
trying
room.
To talk kid talk. Come on. I'm trying to hang with the younger crowd.
No.
Oh, okay.
We don't say dogs barking.
Well, I mean, the old people say their dogs are barking, but that means their feet hurt.
Yeah, my feet kind of hurt, I guess, a little bit. Thank you for asking if my feet hurt.
I meant in the dog sort of double G Snoop Doggy Dog type.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. If we were talking Nicki Minaj, I'd be all over that. Girl, I love me some Nicki Minaj and some Beyonce. But that's about as far as I go. Hey! Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Don't start me in on graining on the wood, because that's a whole other deal.
Graining on the wood? Is that like a sex thing?
I think that's Beyonce, right? That's the song she did with her hubby.
Oh!
Drunk in Love?
Oh my gosh, we should talk Star Wars.
Yeah, sorry.
Hi guys, welcome to J-Guys and Jedi's with Murderbots. Murderbots! Ha 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 ha!
Murderbots do not grain on the wood.
This week we're going to be covering Duel of the Droids, which is the second part of the episode we talked about last week. We do have a cool little thing that we're doing now, where if you write us a review on iTunes, we'll read it on the show. Now, it will take a few episodes before we get to it, but we will totally read it on the show when we get there. Or you can just send us a line at jguysandjedis.com or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. I should put that on the end of the show when we don't have nothing there.
Well, you know,
it's experimenting.
We got foolhardy in the last episode and burned off two reviews. We probably should have saved one of the reviews for this show.
No! No, we're still experimenting with this show format. Anyway.
Yeah, you guys really need to get those reviews piled up, because we're just pumping out these shows, so.
Yeah. I didn't introduce you. Hi, Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris Honeywell.
Hi, I'm Hope Molinax. We're doing a podcast. Yay!
Yeah, we're all the way up to episode 8.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Damn. Time flies when you're having fun.
We don't mess around.
Nuh-uh, girl. Who ruled the world? Girls! Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about Duel of the Droids. It is the 7th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. It was written by Kevin Campbell and Henry Gilroy. And it was directed by Rob Coleman and aired on November 14th, 2008. It is the second part following Downfall of a Droid. Some extra information for you listeners. In the Dakota version of this episode, it reveals that Gonokt was a level 5 droid programmer, that R3-S6 was captured by Grievous agents and reprogrammed on the planet Milagro. Milagro? And the clone trooper Denal served with Rex on Genosis. the original broadcast version, there's a scene where Ahsoka and Anakin, Ahsoka says to Anakin, I hope you find R2 in one piece, in which Anakin replies, get going, Snips. After which Ahsoka says to Rex and the rest of the clone troopers, looks like it's up to us to complete the mission as usual, and they walk off the screen as it fades to commercials. The scene, however, was cut from the DVD release of Season 1 and goes right to the scene where Ganoff is ripping R2 apart to plunder the Republic and further from General Grievous after the commercial.
I must have been watching the broadcast version because it had that scene in it.
Yeah, mine didn't, on Netflix. Because I was looking for that scene, too, so Netflix version does not get that.
Yeah, it's the first, it's actually in my notes because it was the first kind of grumpy line from Ahsoka yet. I mean, she's been sort of like good-naturedly making fun of him and going, Master, I don't think we should do this. But this was the first sort of, it was very Anakin, like, goddamn Obi-Wan type of line.
Huh. I wonder why they didn't put that back in the Netflix one, because I feel like they would have, you know, more time to put in, like, extra stuff like that.
It's a very short scene. It's probably, like, 10 seconds at the most, so, yeah, it's strange.
But I did watch this episode at 2 a.m., so I don't quite remember it. I'll be the first to admit I procrastinated on these show notes. So, as always, listeners, we always introduce the moral of the episode in a Yoda voice. Take it away, Chris.
In a bad Yoda voice, I might add.
You hold on to friends by keeping your heart a little softer than your head. In bad.
Maybe one of the best ones yet.
Which head are we talking about? Which head is it?
Maybe one of the best ones yet.
Oh, I like
whoever
that.
Whoever invented the embed thing for these, my hat's off to them. It was brilliant.
Oh, man. So I saw on my Instagram that somebody had posted a little fortune cookie thing, and I thought it was my buddy Mags. It was Dominic Monaghan. So it was like, in big letters, like, in bed. I'm like, oh, shit, it's Dominic Monaghan from Lord of the Rings. Fuck. I'm going to look like a dumb kid. And then I started scrolling through and like 12 other people posted in bed, so it was okay.
It's one of the old, I mean, that joke goes back it goes back as far as fortune cookies, so.
So I didn't feel as bad. But I just thought it was my friend Mags, who is the greatest Scottish woman to ever live, ever.
We're not really breaking new ground with that gag, but we are definitely putting a new twist on it.
We're going for it. Yes. It's our show,
yes.
Damn it.
We are owning it.
We are. Though I could probably try and do more Yoda voices, but yours is a good bad Yoda voice. Mine is just a bad impression of a bad Yoda voice.
Well, you know, I mean, it may come to, I might have a day when my voice is gone or something. You may have to do it, or we might just have to do it just to switch it up somewhere down the line.
You hold on to your friends by keeping your heart a little softer.
Yeah, that's
your penis in bed.
That's that's bad enough to do.
Yes. So to act one. All right.
It's got a little Agra from the Dark Crystal to it.
Yes. So. In Act 1, sorry, I checked on Yoda for a second. R2-D2 is still missing from the previous episode.
In bed! And
Anakin begrudgingly has to take on R3-S6, a.k.a. Scoldy, a.k.a. Stubby. Oh, I thought you were about to say in bed.
That's why. It would have been perfect. Now, that's the reason I maybe don't like this droid. He's got too many nicknames.
Yeah. They have to leave the previous mission to try and find General Grievous' secret listening post. Little do they know that R2-D2 has fallen under the hands of Gnocht, a smuggler working for the Separatist. He's on his way to deliver the droid to Grievous. Despite being captured, R2 cuts away a panel and hot wires are transmission to Anakin's ship, the Twilight. Ahsoka says that they're supposed to be looking for the listening point, and Anakin rebuttals that R2 might be there, maybe. They lock onto R2's location and jump into hyperspace. Ganoff arrives, handing R2 over to Grievous. Grievous tells Ganoff to rip the droid apart. The Twilight arrives.
In bed.
The Twilight arrives and they pick up the listening post on their scanners. Anakin tells Stubby to scramble their transmission so Grievous can't hear them as he calls to Obi-Wan.
In bed.
Obi-Wan is very clear that destroying the post is the main concern, and this is not a rescue mission for R2. Rex isn't happy. I love this part. Rex isn't happy that they're bringing the droid and that he has to carry Stubby. Swooping into the atmosphere to the base, the crew skydives to the listening post. They infiltrate the ship. Anakin tells Ahsoka to take the men to blow up the reactor while he goes to take a look around. She wishes him luck in finding R2 in bed. I don't know. So what do you think about this first part? This is a loaded episode. I don't like episodes like this where, like, I wasn't quite sure where the breakpoint was between the act. Because originally I had the skydiving part in Act 2, but then I was just like, oh my god, Act 2's notes are freaking huge. Okay, let's move this up to Act 1.
I did the same thing. I was taking notes, and usually, like, when it goes between an act, there's a clear cut to commercial, and I draw a little line to do Act 2. And this one, I'm doing it, and I'm like, wait a minute, we're in Act 3 now, and I'm still taking notes. So I'm just going to use whatever your cutoff point was for Act 2. This first part, there was a really... I liked the little mini Death Star.
Yeah.
It's like a Death Star mixed with a satellite.
It's like a Death Stardust.
Yes. it's like a VW bug of Death Stars.
I just see, like, Vader driving in a little, like, VW bug and just, like, pushing his horn, but it shoots, like, little tiny lasers, like, pew, 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 pew. He's, like, blowing, like, cats off the sidewalk.
Everybody's laughing. Yeah. What I really like about this is it was just a little detail. It was just this little scene. But what I loved about it is when they first get onto the Satellite O'Love there, and they're bringing R2 on, R2, like, turns the second corner, there's a droid sitting there looking at secret plans, and they look like plans for spaceships or battle plans or something. And R2 just calmly looks over there, and I realize then the droid sort of blocks it, like, hey, what are you looking at? And I realize R2's just sucking up more secret information. He's just gathering more stuff for the good guys. While he's there, he's still being useful. And, like, when they get him out of this, he's going to be like, hey, look at this. I got some battle plans here.
I missed that scene.
It was just a real short scene, and it wasn't very explicit about it. But I realized if R2 saw it, it's just, like, recorded on his, you know, recorded in his memory.
Huh.
And I actually paused it and went back, and I'm like, I see, like, you know, four or five spaceships on the thing and words around it. I'm like, oh, those are battle plans or, you know, plans for a new cruiser or something. You know, I mean, Grievous is blowing through ships like crazy. So it was great. I just love that they add little touches like that, that, like, you know, I probably didn't pick it up the first time that I saw it.
Huh. Wow, your notes are so much more detailed. I have...
That's really my only notes.
Oh, I was going to say, because that was such a nice, eloquent note, and my note is, I wish I could understand R2 droid speak, because I'm pretty sure he told Grievous to fuck you, dickbag.
Yeah. You know R2 swears a lot, you know, and especially at 3PO.
Oh, man. My notes is all over the place for this section. For one, I wish there was an ongoing joke in the series where Rex gets stuck, like, carrying really heavy stuff.
Yeah.
or he has to carry, like, Anakin's things. Like, you know, it might start with, he's like, hold this. Hold that, Rex. And then he has, like, a messenger bag, and Rex is like, sir, do you want me to hold your purse? Yeah, I'm going to go kick this guy's ass. It's not a purse.
it would be cool if, like, in by the time in Rebels, like, Rex has one of those old guys, like, back braces. You know, they're like half back brace, half girdle.
Yeah.
Thing from carrying.
It's because he had to carry all the heavy stuff from Clone Wars.
What happened to your back? I had to carry droids during the Clone Wars.
But it could just be, like, I saw a fan comic from Force Awakens, and it was Finn, Rey, and Poe, and, like, Finn and Poe were, like, talking, and they were talking about how, like, Poe has a new jacket, and Rey's carrying these flowers, and this alien comes up and says something bad about Finn and Poe, and Rey's like, hold my flowers, I'm gonna kick this guy's ass. So, like, Finn and Poe are just, like, holding the flowers, and, like, Rey's beating the shit out of the guy.
I have not seen that.
That's what makes me think of, like, Rex, hold my purse while I beat up that guy. It's not a purse, it's a merce. I don't understand the difference. It's a messenger bag. Then call it a messenger bag. Fine. Hold my messenger bag. You mean your purse? Shut up, Rex. I love them.
It's a satchel.
There's also that episode of Friends where Joey has a man purse. And that's what I kept thinking about, too. I love that episode. I love Friends. Once again, I think Anakin loves R2 more than Padme.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like every episode up to this point, Anakin has taught Ahsoka a new way to break the rules. And it's kind of like becoming clear that the 14-year-old is the voice of reason in this relationship.
Yes.
Oh, I think it shows that's why Ahsoka makes it as far as she does. But I have to say that my favorite part of the scene is I really love the entire skydiving sequence. That's actually my favorite part of the entire episode. Because you have that great shot of the hangar doors opening and the Jedi and the clones are all silhouette. And from, like, Ahsoka's line of, follow me, boys, and jumping off to, like, Rick's bitching about carrying the droid and waddling around everywhere. Poor Rex. It's such a good bit because he's just waddling around with Goldie. And, like when Anakin cut that hole in the ground, I was looking at it going, Rex isn't going to fit in that. I was kind of, like, using my fingers to judge how wide he was and how wide he was. And, like, even there's a nice moment, like, even when he's not talking, Anakin is still teaching Ahsoka because she has a moment where she looks over at him and he looks at her and he tightens up, showing her how to do it. And then she automatically does it, too. Like, it's and they're able to fall faster. And it was just it's my favorite chunk of the entire episode. I love that entire scene.
And I always wonder if there's sort of, like, force psychic stuff going on there where not necessarily, like, he's talking in her mind, but where he's, he just sort of will use the force to be like, hey, look up here, look what I'm doing to get her attention and stuff like that.
There is something I feel I was missing is, like, when they land, they just, like, look like they, like, land like cats on their feet. But there's, Sorry.
Easy, Grievous.
I still have a cold. Sorry. But then I was thinking about there's the scene in Rhett's in the episode, I think it was Relics of the Old Republic, but it was the one where it's Grunkle Rex and Grunkle Wolf and Grunkle Gregor, and they're fighting against the Empire, and you have that scene where Ezra, Zeb, and Kanan jump out of the it's not the Twilight, it's their little one, the little ship, anyway, but they're falling, but you see Ezra and Kanan, they have their hands in the air, because they're guiding Zeb down, too. And I feel like that was kind of missing, because it looks like the Jedi in Clone Wars, they just, like, jump here and there, and they're like cats, and they're like, what's that street jumping?
Oh, parkour.
Parkouring! They're like, street jumping. They're like parkouring everywhere, but I feel like in Rebels, there are scenes where you can see them using the Force, and they'll put their hands down to slow themselves down, or they'll keep their hands up to slow Zeb down. I feel like that's kind of missing in Clone Wars, that they do really well in Rebels.
Yes, well, I mean, it's funny because Rebels right now, and, once again, we're way past the time when we recorded this, but Rebels right now is in the midpoint break of season 2.
Oh my god, I watched that freaking trailer 12 times in a row.
Jeez, that's a trailer, isn't it?
That's a hell of a trailer. I know by the time this episode comes out, we'll be almost done with season 2, but holy crap.
They seem to be stepping things up for that.
I am so scared for Rex.
And, oh jeez.
I'm so scared for Rex, Chris. I need to tell you my feelings.
Well, it was funny because I've been watching, I've been watching all the Clone Wars and there's been a few weeks and I'm all caught up on the Rebels. So there's been a few weeks since I've watched the Rebels and I've been watching Clone Wars and get it. Your brain gets and your eyes get used to the way Clone Wars is. And so when I saw the trailer for the second half of season 2, I started automatically seeing all the you know, the steps forward that CGI has taken between the two shows and the, you know, the difference in the visual look. And, you know, there's more shading and dirt and stuff in Rebels. And it's really interesting to see just how much difference 7 or 8 years has made in that. Yet there's still something in the new Star Wars, as in, you know, what we're 7 that's out, 7 through 9, and all the stuff that Disney's been doing, aka Rebels and stuff. Rebels is the thing that's had the most sort of, and it's probably Filoni, the most in common with the feel of the prequels. It's had the most prequel in it, and I think it's just because of the Clone Wars feels that you'll get every once in a while from, well, even more so now that characters are showing up. But I think it's become the sort of gateway between the prequels and the new Star Wars movies. And the only thing that's sort of saying that, like, yes, we acknowledge the prequels.
I really want to talk about that trailer, but I know by the time this episode comes out, season 2 is going to be almost done with.
Yeah, it'll be pretty much over, yeah.
I know, I want to talk about the trailer so bad! Oh, man. So I haven't had anyone to like really talk about the trailer with, because all my friends...
We could be real jerks, and we'll talk about the trailer after the show's over.
Or do you want to talk about the trailer and just like pop out a tiny episode tomorrow?
Afterwards?
Well, no, just like put out like afterwards, like talk right fast about the trailer and then put out a tiny episode tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do that after this episode, just so it'll be easier for me to edit. But I have no problem with that.
Yay! I'm so excited. So by the time this episode comes out, you'll be hearing that episode already, because it'd be like weeks ago. Yay!
Weeks and weeks ago.
Anyway, yeah, that's all I had for this section. I just really love that skydiving scene.
I love the way the realistic skydiving aspect of it, where they're falling and you can see like clouds and mist in the air moving past them, but the object below them is just slowly, you know, the ground, where in this case the mini Death Star is just slowly coming up underneath you, you know, and you get that feel for the, you know, just amount of how high up they are, you know, how high that jump is. It's really cool.
And the little detail that Ahsoka's holding her breath.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that little detail.
There's lots of, they've been throwing little details in. It's a good thing we got two of us here to catch them. I caught the R2-D2 spy detail.
So, on to act two?
I'm ready.
Meanwhile, Gnock breaks into R2-D2's memory bank and shows Grievous that he has plans for every Republic ship and tactic. Gnock wants to get paid more, and Grievous kills him on the spot. Stubby hangs back from Ahsoka's roof and reports to Grievous, revealing that he was a spy all along. Grievous sounds the alarm that our heroes are there. Reaching the reactor, they see a ray shield. It's ray shielded. Ahsoka tells Stubby to get the door open as Rex starts to doubt the droid's abilities like Anakin does. They run out of time as the enemy shows up and blasts at them. Stubby messes up yet again, closing the blast doors opposed to opening them. That's when Grievous arrives to face Ahsoka and Rex. Grievous easily takes out the clones. Just as he's about to kill Rex, Ahsoka saves the captain and challenges him one-on-one. She struggles against him and flees into the storage area as Grievous gives chase. As the Magna Guards transport R2, Anakin spots them and sprints after them to try and save his friend. Oh, okay. My Rex Ahsoka ship is like started this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I tend to ship Rex and Ahsoka when like Ahsoka's of course older and stuff like that, but they're actually very close in age physically, because Rex is only like 12.
He's younger, yeah.
At this point, I ship them. There are so many great moments. Like there's a moment where when Stubby closes the blast door, Rex and Ahsoka look at each other like, "Oh shit, we're stuck." And Ahsoka saves his life and takes on Grievous for Rex's honor, but not for his honor. But that's what I say it is. Yay! Yay!
That was
what did you think about this section.
That was a brutal lightsaber. That's just a cold-blooded lightsaber murder. That's for sure for a cartoon show. That was a little shocking for me.
We're starting to get into that kind of slightly darker territory. We're slowly getting there. We're working towards that PG-13 that George Lucas wanted for this show.
I like that Grievous comes in.
I think it helps there's no blood.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it'd be one thing if it was like a blood object, like just like Walking Dead shoving through him, like guts spurt, but it's clean. It's just like, pew!
It cauterizes the wound, so it just punctures without like making you bleed. It's not like stabbing. It's like burning through something, so... Yeah, not bloody. There should be a little more steam from the bodily fluids evaporating, but that's okay.
It's just a horror guy.
But it was... I'm so glad that we finally know that this droid is a jerk, dick,
traitor,
asshole.
Goldie
so,
dick.
Yeah, now I cannot feel so bad as to think of the things that I want to see happen to him.
I just thought of Austin Powers' gold member. It's gold!
I think this is also the first time where Ahsoka's been like... just flat out wrong the whole time. It's like, yeah, you should have listened to Anakin. And Rex was a little softer, but even Rex started to come around and be like, maybe we should not let this droid... maybe it'd be faster just to do everything that this droid's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I had a note about that too. Because I would actually love a moment to like see some of the clones' thoughts about serving under Ahsoka. I mean, because I can see them being cool, like, with Obi-Wan and Anakin because they're Jedi Knights, but Ahsoka is still a Padawan. Like, she's still learning. She's been in, what, like, two battles up to this point or something? And, like, technically she's older than them in age, but they're physically older than her in appearance. And it just struck me weird in this scene they're waiting for... what?
They're totally presented as being older than her and, like, I mean... an experience and they just have that crusty fighters sort of talking, you know, battle hardened, you know, blah, 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 to them, you know, even though they're 12 years old.
Yeah. But it, like, what really stuck me was like, Denal says to Rex, like, I can hotwire this door. I can open it, man. But it was Ahsoka who pushed for like, you know, she wanted so much for Stubby to like get this chance. And then she got her men killed. The only ones that made it out was Rex and Denal out of her group. And so, like, I would love to hear a moment to hear what the clones think about serving under a child at times like these.
I like the Grievous in this that comes in and takes out all the clones because that's the Grievous that we got introduced to in the first animated Clone Wars where you didn't even see him. There was one scene where he just wiped out a whole bunch of Jedis in this, like, weird dome building. And all you would just see flashes of him as he, you know, and you'd hear him running across the top of the building and stuff. And he just wipes them all out without even being seen, basically. And it was really creepy. It was a great, creepy, badass introduction. And then pretty much everything you ever saw Grievous after that. Yeah, he could fight, but he wasn't, you know, he's kind of a doofus after that. I like this that he comes in and he's a threat, and he's deadly.
Yeah, when you, in that scene later on, when Anakin's like, where's my Padawan? And Red goes, oh, she's fighting Grievous. You see the fear in Anakin's face, like, she's fighting him alone?
Yeah.
Like, there's a fear in Anakin. You know that Grievous is a threat. I will admit that as much as I hate Grievous. What?
That's Grievous's thing, is killing Jedis and keeping their lightsaber.
Yeah. Like, I will admit, as much as I dislike Grievous, he's really good in this episode. He's a big old threat, always. And I think a lot of it is that, you know, he's facing off against... Ahsoka has some balls in this episode. Yes, it comes from inexperience and cockiness, because she's never faced or met Grievous. But, like, I was like, oh, hon, put your balls back in. Like, you're gonna die. You better run.
Yeah.
But that fight between her and Grievous, the entire sequence and all the acts are really good.
It was just weird to see, like, box store shelving in a Star Wars story. You know, when they were in that one storage room, it's just like, hey, I put together shelves like that. Those real cheapy basement shelves. I love the droid poppers. I think those are a neat little addition to
I love those. Every time they use them, because they use them a lot in the series, and I just love
them. I think this is the first time they broke them out. I think.
Yeah, it was.
I like the whole idea of them.
But I was wondering, like, why didn't they use them more? But they don't last too long. I remember that from another episode, because, like, it only stuns them for, like, a minute or so.
Yeah, and there's a budget that can probably only afford so many droid poppers.
Yeah, it is a war.
Yep.
The only other note that I remember watching this episode for the first time, like, way back in 2008, I was actually really, I can't believe I'm about to say this, really surprised that they didn't kill Rex. Because, you know, they're clones, and I guess, like, in my head, I was like, they're clones, we see them die all the time and stuff like that. And so it was that moment that I realized that, no, Rex is an important character. He's here to stay, potentially, for the long run. And, of course, now he's in Rebels, so he did stay for the long run. But I remember that just struck me as odd. I was like, wow, they didn't kill the disposable character. And then I started thinking, I guess the clones aren't as disposable in this series as originally thought.
Yep, they're making a concerted effort to make it not that way, right from the first episode.
Yeah, yeah, I thought Rex was going to die with the moment he went down. I was like, oh, they're going to kill my character. And then he didn't. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's. I think it's important to the integrity of the show, because you got to, if you're going to have the Clone Wars, you're going to have to start identifying with those clones and give people, you know, a reason to some investment in it, in the characters. And it worked. It certainly worked on Rex with you. That's for sure. Let's just say Hope is invested in Rex.
I'm very invested. Did you hear my episode for Rookies? Oh, Lord.
Hear it?
Okay.
I edited it.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I would actually really love to hear it. I don't want to wait to hear it. I really want to hear
it. Well, it's already out now. That they're...
I know. But at the time that we're recording it, we're only on episode 2.
I'm confused.
So did you have anything else for Act 2?
Nope, that's all I got.
Wow, this flew by a little bit faster. Okay, so Act 3, once again, this is a little bit long. I apologize. These acts are broken up weird. Ahsoka. Grievous has Ahsoka trapped as she hides between the shelves of the storage closet. She tells Rex to go ahead with the mission and blow up the reactor as she keeps the general busy. Stubby rats out Ahsoka, shining a light on her, leading her face to face with Grievous. Anakin catches up with R2 and takes out the man of Magna Guards. R2 fixes himself to help him with fight, and R2 is not happy to hear that Anakin has been droid cheating on him. Ahsoka sees that Stubby has been working for Grievous the entire time. The Twilight arrives to pick up the crew. Anakin and Rex rendezvous at the ship, but Ahsoka is still missing. Suddenly, all the blast doors close on the men as Stubby activates the vulture droids in the hangar. Anakin and Rex and the men rush to take cover. Grievous finds Ahsoka and chokes her, keeping her trapped. But when Anakin tells Rex to trigger the explosive, she grabs her lightsaber and cuts off Grievous' hand to escape through the vents. The general bails his listening post, escaping in his ship. R2 rolls to an outside platform to try and find a way to get the blast doors open so they can escape. Stubby challenged him to a duel of the droids. They duke it out on the platform as Ahsoka joins the fight with the men inside. Anakin chastises Ahsoka for taking on Grievous. Rex notices some fuel cells nearby. Anakin throws one, and Rex shoots it in a sexy way to blast away the enemy. They fly the Twilight out, and Anakin goes back for R2. In a Lion King moment of the ages, with Stubby hanging off the edge, R2 sets fire to the space between them and cuts away Stubby to his death. Anakin picks up R2 and they fly away to safety as the listening post is destroyed. Obi-Wan is pissed off at Anakin. The end.
He's pissed, but they'll be happy when they have that new information that R2 has.
Chris, if you don't make that image of R2 cutting that line with Stubby, with all the fire around him and the murder bot Red Eyes staring down as our episode image for this podcast, I will disown you from the show.
I like that R2 will kill a droid.
He kind of reminds me of Chopper.
R2 kills a lot of droids in these prequels. You know, he was setting them on fire in episode 3.
He also reminds me a lot of Chopper in Rebels. Like, Chopper's just like, oh, look at droid. Pushes him off the ship. Ha 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 ha. Actually, Chopper was R2-D2's original design.
Yes, a lot of that was based on, like, a lot of Ralph McQuarrie sort of stuff, which gives it, you know, just this intrinsically Star Wars feel to it. And
yeah.
And a super nostalgia feel to it for, you know, old guys like me who used to pore over the Ralph McQuarrie drawings.
So what did you think about this final section?
I really liked the scene. You know, I thought it was neat that R2 could put himself back together, but I liked the scene of Anakin being Annie again and fixing up R2, you know, straightening
like,
up.
You don't look so good, buddy, and, like, pops his head off.
Yeah, it reminds me of in episode one when he pops, when, you know, one of 3PO's eyes is still up and he's like, oh, wait, and, like, fixes it up, you know, just sort of on the fly. I like it. It reminded me a lot of that scene.
Little Annie.
Yeah. And I really like that shot of, I think of it almost as a Die Hard shot of her in the air vents and him just swinging the lightsaber at her and her, you know, avoiding it in that little tiny place. It's very claustrophobic and a neat shot.
Yeah.
And my takeaway on this whole adventure here is, man, Grievous is a loser. He just spends so much time. He's got the whole, he spends so much time going, oh shit, everything's crumbling around long to me. He's got that that way of mounting his ship now that's just like, ugh, time to fly off from another piece of expensive equipment that's going to about, you know, 10 seconds away from blowing up. I think it's like, I think there's been three of them in the last like five episodes.
I was about to say that. I have a note about that. This is the third or fourth episode in a row where we have the same stock footage of Grievous jumping into his ship.
Curses.
This is like the third episode. And he does that like little flip thing. He's just like, choo.
Yeah, he's got the whole little get into my ship and fly away in disgrace as, you know, a multi-trillion credit piece of machinery blows up. At the hands of the same people.
Those Jedi scum.
Yeah.
Oh, Jedi scum.
I'll get you next episode.
If it wasn't for you meddling kids. And your little clones, too.
Well, that's what I like about him. He's pure pulp. He's pure, you know, it's hard to take him seriously. And that's one of the things I like.
Well, I'm going to knock out my shallow notes first before I go to my bigger talking points.
Okay.
I love Rex's tenacity. He was after Grievous beats the crap out of him, he's concerned for Ahsoka's safety, and he's beaten up and hurt, and he still pushes forward with a mission. R2 and Anakin, the love story of the all ages. Ahsoka Hun, don't light up your lightsaber in a dark place. It makes it easy for people to find you.
Yeah, that's a good piece of advice. Yeah.
I saw on the Wikipedia that Grievous's like little ship is called the Soulless One. What kind of emo kid are you?
I call my ship the Soulless One. Yeah, that's not Grievous. That's more of a Kylo Ren thing.
I gotta fly away to the nearest Hot Topic, buy myself a new studded necklace. And I can say that I worked for a Hot Topic for 2 years.
So. I call it the Angstmobile.
It's my angstmobile.
It runs on pure darkness.
I got a place in My Chemical Romance. But I can say that because that's my favorite band.
It's anyway. Pure dark matter and gasoline.
I love that Ahsoka owns up to her mistake about Stubby. Like, she thought, she's like, yeah, I was wrong. Sorry. the biggest point I had from this section was I was reading about Stubby on the Wikipedia. And there's different accounts of how his actions are that conflict with the actual television show. Like, the actual Clone Wars encyclopedia said that he was programmed to act inept. But then other sources said the reason he seemed like he was inept because he was programmed to follow Grievous. And so he was actually, like, truly not understanding Anakin because that was not his master. So it just made it look like he didn't know what he was doing, but he was actually a terrible spy all along because he was supposed to act inept, but he was just bad because it wasn't going with his programming.
Yeah, that's too much explanation. I like to just think that he was a dick.
You're a dick. I didn't write anything about it, but what did you think of the actual Duel of the Droids?
I loved it. I loved it. I mean, The thing is, when you come right down to it, astromech droids are just not, they're not battle bots, you know? They're not. So it was actually a little difficult to make it exciting, I think, you know? I thought it was exciting because I was just like, yes, R2, kill now. But, you know, I mean, it's like the battle is sort of like you could bump into each other and stuff, but they found ways to make it exciting, especially being on a, you know, a falling platform and, you know, around the collapsing satellite there. So I thought it was great. You know, it was about as dramatic as you're going to be able to get with something like that.
You reminded me of two kittens fighting.
Yeah.
Meow! But like when they both looked out, like their little shocker things, they were just like,
as you see Goldie get smashed up too, he's not just gone, right? He gets hit with something and knocked into pieces, doesn't he?
He flies off and then gets hit with debris.
That's right. Yeah, so it's good. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that he went down, because to be honest with you, he was a good evil droid, but I don't want to see him again. I want to see him die.
He was good for the two-parter.
Yeah, I don't want the return of Goldie to come back and haunt him again. I just
Episode 10, The Return of Goldie. Stubbs returns.
Goldie's pretty tough. That's a Trailer Park Boys joke for all our Trailer Park Boys fans out there.
So that's all I have for this section. Did you have anything else?
No, that's about all I got. All
right, so what was your final thoughts on the episodes? Oh, I had one more thing. The Hangar Bay fight is awesome. Okay, now I'm done.
When I saw the Vulture droids dropping, I was like, oh, good. I've wanted to see these things, you know. I wanted to see a little more battle with these guys. You know, we've seen them sort of buzzing around in the prequels, but it was good to see, them versus people instead of people in a, you know, from ship to ship.
Yeah, because there's that that moment where they drop down and like they're shaken out and stuff like that, mm-hmm. And you can see Anakin and Rex and they're just like,
oh, geez.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So I like this better than the last episode, but mainly really only because of the music. It didn't have the techno music, but in general. It's very much like the last episode where it has one really great, you know, great standout part, which is you get to see Goldie die. But in general, it's just sort of a good, strong episode. There's been better episodes, but it's just a good, strong general episode of Clone Wars. So I'm giving this one a 7, which is roughly the same as the last one, which just got docked to a 6 because of the bad techno music, which I think that I'm betting that we may not hear that again.
There might be another episode.
There might be a clip or two of it here, but I think it pretty much goes the way of the dodo eventually. So this one gets an extra point, but it's not a step. I wouldn't say this would be, you know, well, this would definitely not be one to like be a good starter episode for somebody because it's in the middle of a story. But if you did see it,
the two-parter would be a good starter.
Yeah, if you saw the last two episodes back to back as your first Clone Wars, it would give you a pretty good idea what generally the show's about.
Yeah, minus Obi-Wan.
Minus Obi-Wan, except as a disapproving
dad
on a hologram, but it wouldn't. It would give you some of the highs, but it wouldn't get, you know, it's not a shining star example, but it would also be a good one because it wouldn't, if you gave someone a shining star to start out with, then everything looks kind of lesser after that. This would be a good place to start in the middle. Too much explanation for two.
For one whole point.
For one point, yes.
I actually really like this episode a lot. I agree it's not the best episode. It's a lot better than the first episode. I actually, this is one of the few episodes where I really enjoy Grievous as a character because he's just really scary.
He's more threatening in this one, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy Grievous a lot in this episode, especially against Ahsoka. There's a lot of action. I love seeing Ahsoka learning from her own trial and error. I think Anakin and R2 need to get a room together, and we have a lot of glorious wrecks, so I'm really happy. So I gave it a 7.5 out of 10.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it's I liked it. The more I started thinking about it, I was like, I did really enjoy Grievous in this episode, which is very rare for me, so it has to be doing something right.
Yeah.
So, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, which is our website full of Two True Freaks podcasts that you can sign up on our RSS feed. You can get us off iTunes, too, but come to twotruefreaks.com. That's our home. And we've got...
It's where we live and our beds are.
Yep, bunk beds.
In the chains.
Well, let's not talk about that.
Okay.
But,
I've been watching too much Agent Carter.
We've got every kind of nerd podcast there that your little hearts could ever desire.
Ever.
And what about you?
I know how much Chris hates Whisper.
Oh!
We have every podcast ever. We had this long conversation before the episode.
A bad reaction to whispering. It's like it was very similar to the reaction I used to have to the word Farfignugan, which was an old VW campaign.
Chris.
Didn't like the word Farfignugan. And if you whisper Farfignugan in my ear, my brain will melt out of my head.
Farfignugan. You can find me at Hope Molinax on Twitter, or you can follow us at JGuysAndJedi on Twitter. We found out recently being... a few weeks ago when we actually recorded this episode, that our friend Gene runs the Two True Freaks podcast, or the Two True Freaks Twitter, at Two True Freaks, and they put up every show ever, ever. And I also write for What the Fangirl, so check me out over there.
You do that.
I don't have anything else for you, Chris.
Me neither.
Okay. So, until next time, may the gold stubby Rexes be with you.
In bed.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Plus, tag team robot wrestling. It's the mighty robots of Battlestar Galactica versus the gay robots of Star Wars.
Stop! Please save me, R2! Oh, you stupid little trap! You're so boring!